Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast, presented by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by my beat partner, Jacob Unruh. Jacob, we have survived the open week. We're rested and allegedly rested and ready to go for Baylor week here.
The key is, can we survive the return to football?
That's the key. It was nice to have a little bit of a break. Didn't feel like it didn't last long enough. It was like summer vacation when you were in elementary school. Like, it goes by way too fast. But here we are. It's game week again, and we're back. Got a special guest later, Adam Cook from CTV in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Who are you talking about?
Who has known Chuba Hubbard for a good long while. Got to know him starting in his sophomore year of high school at Bev Facey Community High School there in Sherwood Park, and so he offers some interesting insight. I spoke with him earlier. I don't want to act like it was live because it wasn't. I spoke with him earlier today. He reached out to me to join him on Canadian television, which was a blast. I assume so.
You're saying next week I'm gonna be hosting this podcast alone?
Oh, because
yeah, you're gonna be Canadian TV star.
I'm gonna be in Edmonton and I'll be a superstar on Canadian sports television, I'm sure.
Sweet.
There's no doubt in my mind. No,
sweet.
Not one single doubt. All right, well, let's jump into it. We got to visit with the players first time since post game at Texas Tech. It was nice to get to talk to the guys. They seem to be in a good frame of mind right now, I think.
Yeah, they were pretty relaxed.
Yeah, it was a relaxing evening. It was very windy and in the bowels of Boone Pickens Stadium. It was
sounded kind of eerie, like Halloween.
Yeah, it was very, very Halloweenish under there with the wind kind of whistling through under the rafters of the stadium. So it was a strange setting, but it was good to get to talk to the guys. I know you visited with Bryce Bray. You also wrote about Hunter Anthony earlier this week. The offensive line may be one of the bigger questions going into this to this homecoming game against Baylor on Saturday.
Yeah, we've seen the last two games. We saw two different alignments for mm-hmm. this group. You've seen guys bounce around. Hunter Anthony has played two different positions: right guard, right tackle. Bryce Bray's played both tackles, played right guard. Mm-hmm. You've got these guys bouncing all over the place, trying to find the right formula with some injuries. Tevin Jenkins returned, obviously, against Texas Tech, but Dylan Galloway is still questionable this week.
Yeah.
Gundy acted yesterday like he was getting closer. Said he was hoping to get him in this Saturday, but wasn't sure. So that kind of leaves things still a little shuffled there. And we asked Bryce, you know, how he's dealt with it, and he didn't really seem too bothered by it. He said, you know, I'm just, you know, I could do anything I need to do up there and make it work. And
yeah.
He's, you know, he seemed to adjust well. And I asked him, I said, you know, did you, you know, because he was going into camp, you know, to play a different position, and then all of a sudden he comes on the depth chart at a different spot too. And I said, was that it with this in mind, this scenario? He said, no, we didn't have any injuries in mind. Like, well, that's not what I'm asking necessarily, but you know, it was the benefit of a fall camp for him that he did play multiple positions in camp and learn it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because there was a while there early in August when I thought he was going to be the starting left tackle for this team. I thought that might be the route that they went, and when he popped up on the depth chart at right guard, I was a little surprised by that. I understood it once I kind of took a second to compute everything and realized that, you know, this is the best five, and that's what you want out there. So that right guard position is going to be, I think, the one that I'm most curious about on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, if Galloway comes back and you've got Bray there, you know, how does he handle being back in that spot after two games away from it? If Galloway is not back, is it Hunter Anthony? Is it Rye Schneider? Is it a combination of the two rotating like they did against Texas Tech? And regardless of who it is, how do they hold themselves up? Because this is a pretty stout Baylor defensive front.
They got 23 sacks.
Yeah,
already. OSU has 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's a huge difference right now in this pass rush between these two teams. You know, Baylor's doing with a three-man front, which is fascinating in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a nose guard, and I'm blanking on his name, and I just wrote about him the other day. This guy already got like 8.5 sacks, I think.
Right.
Himself, and that's impressive.
Yeah.
And they're coming in there, and they're gonna rush. They're gonna find a way to get to the quarterback. And Spencer obviously is mobile, but it's gonna be interesting to see how this line. Do they go back to what they did against Kansas State, that alignment that worked so well with Chuba then?
Right.
Or do you go back to Texas, you know, stick with Texas Tech plan that didn't seem to really work too well?
Yeah, and you've got to assume that Baylor is going to copy a good portion of what Texas Tech did in its pass rush to try to get to Spencer Sanders. So that raises some questions in how you've got to attack this as well, and, you know, who you're most comfortable with being out there. And you know, Hunter Anthony is an interesting kid. I think he's going to be a really talented offensive lineman. I think getting shuffled inside was a little bit tricky for him.
Yeah.
That for that first game, to do it off of, you know, he goes through the whole process of, okay, you're getting ready to make your first college start, comes out, plays well at right tackle. Then a week later, boom, you're at a different position, one that I don't know how much he's ever played. I mean, he was never a guard from any time that I remember in high school.
No, definitely not. Now, the funny, interesting thing about that was when I talked to Tuttle coach Brad Ballard over the weekend about Hunter, he said he actually thought Hunter would be moved to right guard right away in college.
Or that's to guard, interesting.
In general, to a guard spot. He said that he thought that he might struggle with some of the edge rushers, the speed.
Huh?
He said, but he plays so high that he has to play him a tackle. And he's strong enough and big enough,
right?
Obviously. So he said he wasn't surprised to see him at right guard, but he also thinks that he could play tackle too, so he's, you know, he could see either way.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, Chuba Hubbard, we visited with him this evening. He was in a good state of mind. Talked a lot about the offensive line and how hard they're working, and you know, how that motivates him. He's a very team oriented guy. And you know, you could see that he really appreciates what those guys are doing in front of him. That, I think, is an area where Oklahoma State could have an opportunity to really do some things, not necessarily because of Baylor's defensive line, but because of the linebacker situation with Clay Johnston out and the shuffling that's going to go on there. Now Terrell Bernard moves into the middle linebacker spot, you know, and how does that change things there? That whole dynamic. You talk about stats. Clay Johnston had 58 tackles through six games.
Wow.
Terrell Bernard was second on the team with 30. I mean, this is a major loss for the Baylor defense in a lot of ways, not just from production, but he's a guy that moves well sideline to sideline. And impacts a lot of plays that he doesn't even make, and he's, from all sounds of it, a defensive leader for this group. So it's a really big deal, and I think that it could open the door if Oklahoma State is able to take advantage for another big day for Chuba Hubbard.
Absolutely. We can't say good enough things about Chuba, to be honest, and opens the door for him. I think it opens the door for Spencer to have a big day with his legs. And making some plays there. I'm still wanting them to get Tylan involved more. I feel like we haven't got to talk about Tylan a lot lately.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. You have one of the best receivers in the country. We feel like we haven't talked about him much.
Right. It's, at least not since about the Texas game. It feels like it's
Tylan's been still good, everybody.
Yeah.
He's still good.
He is. But setting up things for after the break when I visit with Adam Cook. I know you've done radio in Canada. I went on via FaceTime this TV station with Adam Cook. Chuba Hubbard is ridiculously popular in the Edmonton and Alberta area right now. It's pretty crazy what things are like from a media perspective and how he's being viewed and a fan perspective up there. It sounds like
it really is like you, I think, what was it, 2 weeks ago, OSU had a 10 or 11 Canadian media outlet request to get Chuba. They were supposed to do a conference call with him at one point,
right,
with just Canadian outlets,
yeah,
which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah.
And Chuba's not the kind of kid that really craves his attention, necessarily.
No.
So that's even more fascinating to me, how he's dealing with it. He's good for it, though. I mean, he handles everything really well, it seems like. But it's cool to see a kid who grew up playing Canadian Rules football, you know, 12 players on the field, things like that, getting this attention for American football. I think there's probably a lot of questions like, oh, he's going all the way down to Oklahoma, which is interesting to some people. You know, we're so far away from Canada, obviously. You know, but they're eating it up. You know, I talked to those people. They're trying to figure out, you know, where is odds for the Heisman? You know, like, what are the odds for the Heisman? And right now, obviously, they're not great. But they're still there.
Yeah.
And there's still interest there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I won't spoil any of my interview with Adam Cook. I'll let everybody enjoy that. But he had some fascinating things to say about that, and you know, kind of the landscape of high school football and the understanding of college football in America from the Canadian perspective. So with that, we'll take a quick break. My interview with Adam Cook of CTV in Edmonton, Alberta, coming up next on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I am your host, Scott Wright, and I'm joined by a special guest right now, Adam Cook, a sports anchor and reporter for CTV in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, the very nearby Sherwood Park where Chuba Hubbard, Oklahoma State's star running back, grew up. And Adam, you've known Chuba for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, we first kind of ran into him, I think it might have been when he was in his grade 10 years, so he's just starting out high school, and he was, he came onto the football scene, he stormed onto the football scene, but what was really kind of impressive for us was the fact that he was a nationally ranked sprinter as well, and he had, like, you know, top-notch speed on the track and on the football field, so he was a fantastic two-sport athlete right off the top, which is really extremely rare in this neck of the woods. So he's been in the spotlight for a very long time.
What was Chuba like? You know, we see him in glimpses up here now as a third year college student. What was he like back then? What kind of kid was he?
He's always been very soft spoken and not very. He doesn't like the spotlight too much or the attention, and it's such a contrast to how he plays the game, and just how fast he was on the track. I mean, you know, most athletes with that kind of skill and talent at a young age, I mean, I think the ego perhaps gets the better of them. But Chuba, he's never been like that, and he's quick to kind of, thank his coaches, thank his teammates, but he's really, really always been like that. And even last year, he was on a break. He came up around Christmas time, and one of the first things he wanted to do when he got back into town after seeing family and friends was get back to his old high school and just kind of hang out for a few hours. And that's exactly what he did, which was pretty amazing. And I mean, just the reaction to this kid coming back into the school, it was fascinating. It was just kind of weird to see, the reaction of the teachers and his former coaches that were all there for his national signing day, and they were just thrilled to see him. But he's just a really good kid and very soft spoken, the stereotypical Canadian, and I think that has a lot to do with how he's been brought up.
Now, give us kind of an idea. We're down here in Oklahoma, where football is king. What is the football scene like at the high school level in Edmonton or around Alberta?
Virtually non-existent, to be quite honest. It because this is a hockey town, as I think you guessed. The Edmonton Oilers are big in this town. We have probably the most dynamic player in the NHL, that being Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
High school football doesn't really register too much on the local sports scene. Now saying that, that did change when Hubbard started to rise through the ranks, and he was an exciting player to watch. And you would see his old team, the Bethpage Falcons, all of a sudden they were drawing more and more fans coming out to see. But it really doesn't get that much attention. Chuba did do a lot to kind of change that for the time that he was up here. And obviously now, there's a lot of people in Edmonton and Alberta in general who are watching his games with Oklahoma now. I mean, there's like viewing parties now. Like that would have been unheard of, you know, up until a couple of years ago. But people, you know, get together and they watch these games, and nobody really knows what to make of what he's doing down there. And he's already reached 1,000 yards. Now there's this conversation about him being in the mix for the Heisman Trophy. People don't really know what to make of it. But then when you see that he's also in the same conversation as the likes of a Barry Sanders. Everybody here knows who Barry Sanders is,
right,
and remembers the way he played, and they can't believe a local kid is part of that conversation now. It's just stunning, and now I think it's become really more exciting, because now when you come into work or even when you go down and watch, there's a pro team here in the CFL, they're called the Edmonton Eskimos, and I even hear players down at practice saying, you know, guys that play the running back spot, and they go, well, you know, what did Hubbard do last week and all this kind of stuff? And they're watching the games as well. So it's really quite, it's different. It's very different for us. We're not used to a high school football or a former high school football player getting this much attention. So it's new and it's exciting.
Now, what's it like sort of just on a broader scale, just trying to get the games up there? I know that there are some differences in, you know, what television networks are available there. Is it tough to find the games at times?
Well, no, it's a lot easier now. Like, I mean, with the satellite packages and the different options you have, I mean, it's not as hard as you think now. But it's funny, there was a couple of weeks ago, I was in a sports bar on the weekend, and they had, obviously there was, you know, hockey games going on, the baseball playoffs are going on, this is the big crossover time when all the sports are kind of going at the same time, and there was a few TVs that were on you know, that was dedicated to the Chuba Hubbard game, and that's what they call it, the Hubbard game. You know, they're kind of like, so it's no, people can, they, that's a good thing now, people can access these games and watch them in bars and stuff like that. And you know, of course, the bar owners, they have to cater to the clientele. And so when Hubbard's playing, that's part of the scene.
So I guess their biggest nightmare though is an Oklahoma State game and an Oilers game crossing over at some point, because that's probably going to upset somebody on one side, right?
Well, you're always going to have an Oilers game on, no matter what.
Right, right.
You're
exactly.
But you'll have Oklahoma on as well now, and it's just different. Like, I mean, I don't remember ever seeing that. I mean, usually when you know, like you got the bowl games down there and stuff like that. Obviously, you'll have some TVs dedicated to the college football, but really, hockey dominates up here. But like I said, there's a certain segment of the population that is really enjoying this rise of Chuba Hubbard and what it means, and people are still trying to figure it out. But no, I mean, there's definitely a lot of people that they know the team now, and they're starting to get more aware of the team. And like I said, you walk in on a hockey night and you see, you know, an Oklahoma game on, you know, two or three screens. That's rare. That's extremely rare. Yeah.
How fast has this been? And let's be fully transparent. You and I got hooked up because you reached out to me to come on your
That's
network,
right,
to discuss Chuba Hubbard. My partner Jacob Unruh has been on a radio station in Edmonton to talk about Chuba. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it seems like this has this rise has this excitement has generated pretty quickly and gone to the high levels that you've described in a pretty rapid pace.
Yeah, I mean, it's really gaining traction. Like, I mean, like I said, we're just trying. That's why I wanted to talk to a guy like yourself, who, you know, covers football, and football down there is obviously at a totally, completely different level than what it is up here. So we're trying to gain some perspective on, you know, how Chuba's being received, what it means, and all that kind of a stuff. But it's actually stunning that we're, you know, talking about, you know, college sports in the States, because I mean, there's a lot of people up here in Canada that, you know, enjoy watching the big events, you know, the mm-hmm. big games. But if a couple years ago, if you would have said, "Hey, did you see a, you know, Oklahoma play on Saturday?" You know, probably 2 out of 10 would have said yes. You know, it's yeah. extremely extremely rare, but he has changed the whole dynamics. And I mean, he came from his impact when he was playing here with the Beth Facey Falcons out in Sherwood Park. I mean, they were three-time conference champions. They won the Northern Provincial Championship twice, but they were never able to get over the hump to win the whole thing, like the whole provincial championship, because there's a team in Calgary that's been very, very, very good. But just to get an impression of, since, you know, Chuba has left that high school, I think they're 0-5 right now, and they were 0-8 last year.
Wow.
And before that, it was like they had a record of 10-2, 11-1, 13-1. I mean, they were dominant. They were extremely dominant. And now that's the ugly side of, you know, sports like football. I mean, everything is cyclical, right?
You've
only got this 3-year window to win while you can. And he was that good. And the most amazing thing is, like, you would see teams, you know, just talking to opposition coaches that were preparing to face the Facey Falcons. Everything was centered around stopping Chuba Hubbard. And none of them could do it. And it was just, like, sometimes you would watch him in a game and it looked like he was floating. Like, he wasn't really. I remember going to one of his games and we're in the stands. And we're shooting, and I go, yeah, he's fast, but he doesn't look that fast. And then I got field level, and I was like, oh my God. Like, it was just, he was so smooth, and like, it was hard to kind of get a really accurate impression of how fast he was moving, unless you got field level. And at field level, it was like, okay, I get it. He's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. You're exactly right. He just glides when he runs, and you know, even though he's bulked up now and has to be more physical and do things, but when he gets in the open field, you know, you see those track skills really come out in the way that he takes off in the open field. So, last thing, I'm just randomly curious about, what was it like when you started realizing sort of the magnitude of his recruiting while you guys were covering him and you know, started hearing the names of the programs that were actually interested in this kid, you know, Alabama being the probably the biggest of the group, being that they've won so many national titles here lately. What was it like kind of familiarizing yourself with that and how big of a deal that was becoming?
Well, we've had a lot of local athletes that have signed, you know, scholarships with the, you know, NCAA schools and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But with Chuba, it was, you're right, it was the names of the teams that were recruiting him. Like, you know, you heard Alabama, I forget some of the other ones. Oklahoma State was obviously a big one as well. We knew about that. The thing that really stood out for me is that, or one of the notable things for me and a lot of people in his school and people that cover him, was that, you know, the Cowboys gave him a dual scholarship, right? Mm-hmm. One for football and one for track. And we knew that was extremely rare. But I remember on signing day, we went there and there was a ceremony in the high school and, you know, the gym was packed. And I remember as soon as he signed the paper, I remember looking on Twitter and already Oklahoma State had put up like a little video. And that was like 20 seconds after he signed. And I was like, what? That is like, this is the big time, man. Like, this is like, it felt like a professional project, which of course it is, but we're just not used to seeing that. And the exposure that he was getting so early and the names of the schools, and you're just kind of thinking, well, you know, when they go to play the Sooners, like, how many people are at a game? What is it, like 70,000 or something like that? And, like, that for us, that was just stunning. But to see this kid in Sherwood Park, you know, put pen to paper, 20 seconds later, there's a beautiful montage, you know, highlights of him in action, and his name's all over, and he's got all the school gear, and it was just like, wow, this is special. We know he's special up here, but I think the fact that there was so much hype about him kind of signing down there, or that's what at least it looked like to us.
Oh yeah,
was, oh, okay, that this is, you know, confirmation that he's a special athlete, and, you know, and the fact that those big schools were going after him, that was just like, okay, all right, now it's he's reached another level.
Yeah, it was definitely a big deal down here, I know, for Oklahoma State when they landed him. So, well, listen, Adam, thank you very much for taking some time to join me here. Again, Adam Cook from CTV, a sports reporter and anchor on the television station there in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We'll take a quick break and be right back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. Once again, really appreciate Adam Cook from CTV in Alberta, Canada, coming on with us to talk about Chuba Hubbard and sort of his insights from what Chuba was like as a young guy, what football was like in Canada or is like in Canada. Some really entertaining stuff from him on how big a deal Chuba Hubbard is in the Edmonton area. All right, Jacob, let's wrap this thing up with a few more thoughts from tonight and looking a little bit ahead. Now, we do want to remind you, we will have our end of the week podcast with the mailbag segment. So be sure and get at us on Twitter at Scott Wright, okay, at Jacob Unruh. Email if you want to as well, but plenty of ways to get in and be a part of the show. So get to us with that so we can dive into all the questions that you've got for us in our segment, our mailbag segment at the end of the week.
Someone tweeted at us so we thought we were too soft on the grades last podcast.
Justin thought we were a little soft with our grades, so we were a little too easy on guys. We'll see how it balances out. We might come back around with a 3-quarter season update in the next bye week and see how our grades have changed at that point. One guy we got to speak to this evening was AJ Green, and he talked a lot about last year's game at Baylor and the Denzel Mims touchdown catch right in front of him. I mean, literally he was reaching around Mims trying to knock the ball out. It was, and then Mims came down on top of him. I thought Green had maybe sustained a concussion in the whole collision, but no injury, but he was just so distraught over having lost the game for his team that he was, you know, I saw him having to be helped off the field after that game was over, which is why I thought he was injured. But but it was a moment that has been imprinted in his brain. He said he replayed that play. He's always got it in the back of his mind. It's a play that motivates him, that drives him. Push him through off-season workouts, all those sorts of things. This is a guy that has really developed into a pretty talented cornerback over his 3 years as a starter. I think he has a chance to go make some money in the NFL and do some special things. But this is going to be a good test for him because Baylor, not just Mims, they've got a lot of dudes at receiver that can do some damage.
Yeah, you and I were texting about that Saturday during the game. I said, man, Baylor receivers are impressive.
Yeah.
It's like every time I looked up, it was a different guy who looks the part and caught everything and moves really well. And I thought, man, it's going to be tough on OSU secondary.
Yeah.
But I know we graded him out pretty high on the secondary, but I think the secondary has been really impressive this year overall. AJ Green and Rodarius Williams both have been – I think really big strengths because you don't notice them much.
Right, exactly.
And that's good for AJ. Did he talk a lot about the motivation for this? What did he say on that? I know you're right about that. So I don't want to give everything away, but
No, it's absolutely fine. There's a big motivation because of last year. Because they know that this is a team with some really talented outside receivers that they're gonna have in their face every snap. You know, last year Charlie Brewer didn't even come in the game until the fourth quarter, or right before the fourth quarter started, and so they know that they'll have him for the entire game, barring another injury. But so that's a difference this year, and Brewer is a different player this year. He's really improved and has shown that he can hurt guys in a lot of different ways. You knew that he could run some. He seems to be making very good decisions when he does that. And then you you add in all of those receivers and some talented running backs as well. You've got a chance to really make something happen with that offense. So we'll see. He was he had his struggles. Brewer did against Texas Tech. Got picked off a couple of times. So you know that'll be important. The center snap is going to be very important. Making sure that it gets all the way back there. There are none of those quote unquote illegal snaps.
Yeah.
Where the center just snaps the ball up to his butt and drops it.
That was not a good call.
That's one of the worst calls I've maybe ever seen, and that's including a whole lot of high school football games that I've covered.
Yeah,
that was
too.
A bizarre situation.
I haven't seen a lot talked about on that, to be honest, which is kind of shocking to me. But I was not. That was bad.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the Big 12 reached out pretty quickly, it sounded like, to Texas Tech to clarify that that the wrong call was made. Not much you can do about it at that point. It's not we're not going back and replaying anything. So, I was asked by some OSU folks, who brought up their Central Missouri game from a few years back. And I still put that call higher than the illegal. Yeah, Central Michigan was still a worse call.
Yeah.
Than this one, but
definitely
this was way up on the list, really high on the list, and obviously a crucial situation. But Texas Tech took the high road, and I think Matt Wells said all the right things and all of that, but.
Hopefully we won't have that issue this week. Let's just move on and
exactly.
play some football, right?
Exactly. Rather not have to deal with officiating issues or pregame penalties or any of the other bizarre things that
what
happened.
What a week in the Big 12 with half the conference off.
Right, exactly. It was a little odd, so things went a little haywire. But big weekend this weekend, Oklahoma State. It's a weird game. You can almost see from each team's perspective how they could feel like the underdog in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, obviously Baylor is ranked, undefeated.
But they're not favored.
They're not favored. So they have reason to consider themselves the underdog, whereas Oklahoma State is 4-2, not receiving any votes in the poll, but they are the favorite by the point spread. So it's a really strange situation.
So what do you think's going to happen?
Oh, I got no clue. No clue at all.
Me either. I don't know which OSU team's going to show up.
Yeah. I rode that roller coaster last year trying to figure out which team was going to show up. Based on past experience, I think that Oklahoma State will come out focused and motivated, and I think that will that'll carry them. I'm going to pick them to win. I don't know what score I'll pick. We can come back around to that in our next podcast. I haven't settled on that just yet, but I think Oklahoma State's going to win this game. That said, I don't have really strong feelings that way.
Yeah.
I mean, they could very well come out and have four more turnovers and give the game away.
Yeah, I'm with you. I lean towards OSU winning this, but. It could be, it was a 4-point spread. It could be by 5, 6. It could be by 21.
Yeah, absolutely.
Baylor has blown fourth quarter leads, only to hang on somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Last 2 weeks, they get off to slow starts, so they could put themselves in a hole real fast against OSU's offense.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do that, obviously. But it could be the other way, too. OSU come out with a slow start somehow.
Right.
And put themselves in a hole like they did against Texas Tech. And not be able to get out of it. And so, I don't know, but I'm with you. I think they're going to be motivated because I think coming off a bye week really helps them.
Definitely.
Even gain even more motivation. They have 2 weeks to sit on the loss.
Mm-hmm.
And that stings. And so I think they're going to be in good shape.
I don't buy into the theory that certain things like homecoming necessarily motivate a team. But it brings a lot of good energy into the building, and I think that has a positive impact. I think teams are either motivated or they're not, and that goes way beyond what happens on a Saturday. But I do think that homecoming is such a big deal at Oklahoma State that it brings a lot of good energy into the building, and it really helps. So
I was going to say, I feel like OSU's homecoming is so different, though, that
it is.
You can kind of they can kind of feed off that,
yeah,
maybe a little bit, because it's
absolutely
different.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a bigger deal than I've seen anywhere, including high school level. I mean, high schools go all out about homecoming,
yeah, they have parades too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Bonfires and whatnot.
Right. Exactly. So, it's a big deal. Very big deal at Oklahoma State. So, all right, Jacob, with that, I think it's time to wrap up this episode of the Cowboy Chronicles podcast. But be sure to jump in if you want to get in the mailbag in our end of the week podcast. We will come back around to those questions then. For now, thank you for listening to the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com.